Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Get ready, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for kickoffs and kick-ons.
Yes, a very merry rugby union to you all. What a wonderful weekend for the 15-man code. Rugby union it's booming here in Australia. The numbers are up, both crowd and viewership. And this little show is we've hitched our wagon to that star. That's right, Team Coco and rugby union going all the way to the top. Now, there might be a bit of an interesting mood in the show. For today, we haven't really worked out or sussed out how it is. The boys had their 40th on the weekend. I don't know how they've come in, to be honest. It's confusing. But we will work it out throughout the show. Let's bring them in real quick. First of all, Adam Ashley Cooper, Swoop Holiday, how are you?
Well, my body's here.
Okay. Working it out pretty quick. Drew Mitchell, Biv, how are you?
Yeah, look, I've seen better days.
Okay.
Yeah, Pete Murray.
And Matt Gitto.
Good. Like Voigt. You.
Yeah.
Ready to go. Fantastic.
He got some training done this morning.
Did you believe? This morning.
Keep it between us.
Okay. Because you know on a podcast you're meant to tell people stuff. And
yeah, I know, but not when opposition could be watching.
Oh, right. Gotcha. Yeah. Hey, we have a very special guest in studio. Let's do Tommy's little intro and then we can get into what happened at the 40th. All right. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest this week has travelled all the way from the land of sumo wrestling, cherry blossoms and pleasurable toilets. This bloke has played over 100 games for the Tars, over 70 tests for the Wallabies and was bribed with a tertiary education to play Shoot Shield rugby for Sydney University. At club level, this fellow wins wherever he goes, whether it be with the Kubota Spears in Japan or banging over 45 metre penalties to down the Crusaders in the Super Rugby final. Please welcome a gent that they affectionately call the Iceman, for being cool under pressure, but melting pretty quickly when prompted by French referees. You might, Tommy. You may know him from social media hits, such as "You Called Time Off and It Didn't Have to Be This Way." So please put your hands together for Aussie Rugby's very own Nard Dog, the one and only Mr. Bernard Foley.
Yeah, the pig.
Thanks, lads. Thanks for having me on.
Welcome, Nard.
Good read, Prof.
Thank you. I practiced that well like, for the last 3 days. They like to make fun of my reading here, Nard. Yeah, they
think you did it well.
Thank you, mate. Thank you. And you are down for the 40th. Is that why you came down from Japan?
Yeah, we've got a week off, so a couple of 40ths this week. My sister's as well, so a couple of big occasions. But, you know, a week to get away, refresh, and go back to the last end of the season.
Now, before we do get into the 40th again, I know I'm teasing it a lot here. You might see that we are now wearing the official Coco merchandise, the shirt. It is available in two different styles and two different colours. And, Nard, you throw this one on. There's a little gift for you. Thank you for coming on.
You guys are merchandise Well,
this is
everything. If we can get some cash.
That's right. Anything to make a bit of cash. So there's this style here, which is the embroidered cocoa flag, which you can get in black or Biv, you've got the white on as well. If you're listening, have a look. It's nice and broidered on the chest there. And then Swoop and Goit, you guys have got the cocoa on the cocoa show on the left breast. And then also on the back, if you turn around, just bend down for me, Swoop. It says it's the Schmidted. It's the Schmidted in logo. So
how does it look, lads?
It
looks good.
Oh, nice.
Looks very good.
Yeah, black's good. Mate. What's that?
XL,
medium?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Beautiful. So if you want to buy these, they are finally for sale. Jeez, you guys have been hammering us. When's the merch ready?
Bit it's of ready.
Pressure on. It is ready. www.budgiesmuggler.com.au/
Oh, there it is.
That was a big one.
There it is.
I needed to nail that because this is how we make cash. www.budgiesmuggler.com.au/thecocoshow Get on there, buy a shirt, we can ship it anywhere globally. It doesn't matter where
can
you
we?
Are. If you're at the Antarctic station down there and there's a couple of blokes that live down there and you're sick for the show, we can get it to them.
What are they looking at? How long would they wait after purchase?
Well, they got to put on the sled with the dogs. So I don't know, maybe 4 weeks for them.
That's all right.
But if you're in Wales, lots of viewers in Wales, they love us. You can get one of these. If you're in Ireland, if you're in Japan, if you're anywhere.
Number one podcast in Japan.
Is that true?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Going off. Yeah.
I was going to break the news, but nah, I did it.
That is absolutely fantastic. Right, let's get back into it. Nard, you are here. First and foremost for the boys, 40th. And then you've got your sisters a bit later on, but you've come down for theirs. How did you rate the party on Saturday night, Nard? What did you think?
Yeah, I was conflicting. Going to a 40th for my first time, seeing the different eras of rugby players and having to fit in. So it was great. These two put on a great party. They dressed the occasion, but probably Gitz led the way with the costume.
Well, if you are watching this, we do have a little photograph that shows the costumes that we dressed as. The two boys, you both went...
I noticed you've cropped
There's
it.
An edit.
Yeah,
there's an edit there.
It's not just happening in the Royal Palace. We're editing here as well.
We've adjusted a photograph because Drew groped Gitz.
Consensually.
Consensually, was it, Gitz?
I don't know.
Oh, don't hang me out like that.
No, it's definitely consensual.
You did an amazing Vivian. Vivian, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Vivian was actually, so my wife ordered it, and then when it turned up, because I was going as Ultimate Warrior, like I explained, but then when it turned up, she's like, oh, I can't wear that. That's way too revealing. I wouldn't feel comfortable. She said, I might send it back. I said, I might give that a go. Yeah, let me try that on first.
I
tried it on, and yeah.
And the lippy's great on you, mate. I think it suits you.
Yeah, thank you.
Did you reapply that throughout the night?
Yeah, I took it with me.
There's a few people wearing it by the end, I think.
And then obviously a couple of Hugh Hefners there.
Yeah, Drew Hefner and Swoo Hefner.
Wonderful. And then I went as the king, Shane K. Warne.
I thought you were Elise Perry.
Yes, mate, and a lot of people thought that because the wig was a little bit long.
Prof, that ball's looking very shiny.
Yes, and thanks for that.
You kept that in pretty good nick.
Yeah, all night Swoop would grab the ball and just he'd really get it nice and shiny next to the old Glenital. So thanks for that, mate.
You can't turn up to a party without a shiny ball.
No, you're right. So it was very shiny all night. And thanks for having us, guys. It was a wonderful.
No, thank you all for coming. It was a great night.
It was a great night. Great costumes.
Yeah,
lot of great costumes. Lots of effort.
What were you, Nard?
I was a mechanic. What do I want to be when I'm older?
Yeah.
Very good.
What happened there? How'd you fall short?
Bumped into you blokes.
Yeah, that'll do it. Actually, on the 40th, like quickly, I bought the boys these two dragon-looking brandy bottles. Napoleon Dragon XO is what I got them. Gave it to them on the Sunday because they didn't want to carry it around. But because they turned 40th, it was a dragon... And they've turned 40 and the year of the dragon, it's supposed to bring them good luck. So that's why I bought it. And off the back of that, I bought two lotto tickets just to test the theory in case you never know.
And it's for tonight's draw.
Yes, tonight's draw. That's right. It is. So I've got one here for you, Swoop. So 50 games
that's
there.
That's the winning one. We're all splitting that. Hey?
And then one for Drew. So
I think this could
next week they could come on with Rolexes and gold chains, or probably not turn up.
Yeah, will you keep doing the show for 30 minutes?
I could, but it could be the Coco Show brought to you by Drew.
A whole different rundown then, wouldn't it?
I'll give you $5,000.
What about you, Sweet? Would you turn up?
Sorry?
Will you be here if you win?
I will, for you blokes.
Appreciate it.
For
a farewell show.
While we are on gifts, we also, myself and the production team, which is Tom, Ollie, and did Hugo chip in for this? No, he didn't. Tied us. So it's just me, Tom, and Ollie. We did, these are also lottery tickets. Sorry, we should have spoken.
Mate, you have.
No.
If you've spent more than me, I'll be upset.
Well, here's what, I think it's 40 scratchies. Ooh. Is that right? So one for each year. We are not trying to one-up your gift, kids.
Are they dollar scratchies?
I'm not sure. Ollie bought them. Are they dollar scratchies?
Yeah, no.
$40 worth of scratchies. And then it's a bottle of Plonk as well, which is a decent
Mount
bottle.
Mary. That is a very good bottle.
There you go. That's so congratulations.
Thank you, guys.
Thank me, because I reckon. What did you want to get them, Ollie? Vodka or something?
Yeah.
I said they don't drink vodka.
I drank a fair bit of the shit on the weekend.
Apparently not as good as the Backline Shiraz, Backline Wines, but which I heard was very good. Is it still here? Yes, but it's still a decent drop. So happy birthday.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank
you, man.
And well done. Now, if you are watching the show and you want to get involved having a shocker today, isn't it?
That's okay. You had a big weekend.
I did. Yeah, I was there till 10:45 on the weekend.
Oh. I don't even want to say what time I rolled in. Let's just say my parents were staying with me and they were up by the time I got in.
Are they late risers?
they were in the living room and I just sort of shuffled on through and had a bit of an episode and yeah.
I wouldn't worry about your parents. His old man was trying to pash me all night.
Yeah. Said he had a thing for Julia Roberts back in the day.
That's what he said to me.
Yeah.
He said, go away, Mitch.
And your mum, she bought me a couple of rounds of the bar. She was on the Bundy and Coates.
Yeah.
She was.
Yeah. Yeah. So, they enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a big weekend.
Fantastic. Now, if you do want to get us on socials, it's Kickoffs and Kick-Ons everywhere except for YouTube, which is Kickoffs and Kick-Ons. So make sure you like and subscribe and all of that. Nard, we're doing a thing if we get 50,000 subscribers on YouTube. I'm getting hair plugs. Swoop's getting an extra surname. So Ashley, Cooper,
Coco.
Drew's going to do a show nude. And Goit's getting a neck tattoo of the flag.
Of the flag.
Is it the flag?
It's the flag.
Love that.
So now the other thing that's happening currently with the socials, because they are going off, they're growing very quickly, is people are sending stuff to us. So we've got a little segment just to begin called Social Snitches.
Here we go.
And people send in weird shit from years gone by. This is a doozy. This one's Holiday Swoop. Let's just have a little.
I love it when you don't have. It's not about you.
Have a little look at this or a listen.
How you going, guys? This is an appeal from Wallaby Camp in Coogee. I've handed out my boots on the lap after the win against the South Africans at Suncorp Stadium, and I've handed over my boots to two young kids that were there. But what I've realised this morning when I got into training, that not only did I hand over my boots, but I handed over my orthotics in them, and obviously worth a lot of money to the podiatrist down in Canberra. I'm trying to save $500, and it'd be great if those two kids can, I guess, see this appeal and help my lost and found and give my orthotics back. I'm not asking for the boots back, I'm just asking for the orthotics inside the boots. So any help would be appreciated. If you get the word out, I'd love it. Cheers.
What a lovely fella.
What a tight ass.
What's changed?
Yeah, tight ass, correct. Sunny Coast, you know.
Yeah. Did you get him back?
Well, mate, at the time, there was this podiatrist down in Canberra that was absolutely stinging the boys. Like, he'd rinse the club because he had this partnership with the Brumbies, right? And he'd basically, you know, come in because apparently orthotics or... I had shin splints at the time, and apparently orthotics were the way forward to I don't know. To get rid of him, but anyway. So I'd thrown over. I was a very, you know, after a win in the Wallabies, Suncorp Stadium, you lose yourself in the atmosphere. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to be a good bloke. I'm going to throw my boots in the crowd. Never done it before. Just forgot that I left my orthotics in there. And I didn't want to go back to this bloke in Canberra. I forget his name. If I knew his name, I'd absolutely rinse him now. But Yeah, I just wanted to save, you know, they're probably $1,000.
Yeah,
you
know,
it's a G up.
It's also the niggle. Walk in there, walk here, walk backwards, walk sideways, yeah. Trying to get your foot, and your feet are like not good. You know?
They aren't, right? No. And haven't got any better. So actually, if anyone's watching this, don't go and see a podiatrist. They're not needed.
Oh, really?
Wow, that's punchy.
See, I disagree.
You slam the entire industry. Oh, wow, what an appeal.
Did you get your orthotics back?
They came back.
Did you send them the money for the postage?
Like it worked for David Warner in his baggy green?
Oh, yeah, but right? He hid that himself.
Anyway, they made their way back and, yeah.
What a beautiful story.
Saved a bit of coin, you ripper.
Fantastic. You know they do full 3D grafts of your feet now, so you only need to go in once. Remember how you said?
Yeah, but
the
they
moulds?
Didn't in 2005.
No, so you would have had to have gone in and put your feet in the clay again. Yeah, cool story, Hansel. Okay, so look, we do have Bernard Foley on, and we're going to get deep into your career and all the amazing things you've done. But we've also got to chat a bit of superb rugby and superb W as well. That's been happening over the weekend. But what we wanted to start with, because it came up on this show, is a little tweet that you wrote, and yeah, it's. Well, it went pretty global. Nard, you tweeted, I think it was post the Wales game when Australia lost 146-4. You tweeted, it didn't have to be like this. We've got the tweet here somewhere. No, we don't. Anyway, we'll bring it up. Can you, I guess we just want to ask, first of all, were you pissed when you wrote it?
Or, definitely, yes. We all were.
I was actually in the stadium. So I was sitting probably behind, in front of you, behind you.
Definitely in front. You got better seats.
And I think it just came from such disappointment. And seeing the players out on the field, the effort, the emotion that they showed after the game, how distraught they were, that really hit home to me that this was a something that they probably weren't set up to succeed. And that was the you go to World Cups, they should be the best environment, the best part of your career is get to go. It's the pinnacle of anyone's career is to go to a World Cup. And, I just saw the distraught on the face of those players and the support staff, right, that were a part of that.
Do you what did you mean by, like, it didn't have to be this way? What would you have changed, you think, or what should have been changed?
Oh, I just think the inconsistencies, the messaging, and then how players were, as I said before, probably not set up to succeed. Mm-hmm. I think guys were thrown out to the wolves. The games, you know, the outcomes, what it was. But, you know, I think in that whole lead up, the preparation, it could have been very different. And
I agree.
Yeah,
the results could have been different.
Yeah,
because you were over there, and we caught up in Nice, and just on the off chance that maybe you get called up, you're keeping fit, you're training, and you know I was down there on the beach into the pina coladas. You're in the on the sparkling water, and then going off and training, and then meeting back later for dinner. Was there any communication throughout that campaign, or was it just you wanting to be prepared just in case?
No, it was a bit of both. There was no communication. I'd played the Australia A game 2 weeks before the World Cup started.
You were captain, were you? Were you captain?
Not that game. I was captain the first game in Tonga, and then we played against Portugal 2 weeks before. And I thought it'd be a great occasion to stay over there and be involved in the World Cup and also to be somewhat ready and prepared if there was that case. But... you know, it was just also amazing to be a part of a World Cup and to spectate and get to a few of the games.
I guess, Swoop, have you got a question for
that? Yeah, I was just going to say, like, I mean, it's hard watching that when you know you can kind of contribute and have influence on a squad. And we know how much of a competitor you are. I mean, where are you left now? I mean, the World Cup's over. I know you've gone back to Japan. Have you set new goals? You know, are there new aspirations? You know, what's ahead for you?
Yeah, I suppose that was a... I suppose my experience with the Wallabies in 2022, when I was able to come back and play the Bledisloes and play the Spring Tour, really ignited my ambition to go to another World Cup or to be a part of the Wallabies set up again after missing it for 3 or 4 years. And, you know, that time away in Japan really refreshed me and gave me a new lease on rugby and how I was enjoying my footy and playing my footy. So... to have that experience and that taste of it, really invigorated me to want to go back and be a part of the Wallabies. Now, you know, seeing that World Cup and now what's happened since, you know, there's a lot of on the horizon. But for me, I've actually missed a couple of games this year with injury. Had a bit of concussion symptoms. So my focus was if I could always get back and play with the Wallabies and be able to contribute and be able to, you know, have an effect on the group, but what also Joe and the team are going to try and do, I would love to. I love the team and if I could help out and be of some support, I would. However, you know, now my focus is pretty much just getting back on the field for club footy, playing some decent club footy, and then we'll see what happens from there.
Any early comms with Joe? Like, I mean, have you reached out? And
he's wearing a Schmidlin shirt too. Mm.
Yeah, I've come on the show just to get in his good books. But no, I haven't spoken to him. Haven't had any communication at all.
Well, he watches. Yeah, he loves it. So pick up the call. Talk to Nard.
Could I just ask? I don't know your relationship status, but if you were to break up, where do you think it'd be the worst place to be broken up with?
Say that again.
So I don't know if you're. I don't know what's going on. Are you
got a
single?
Lovely girlfriend.
Oh, there you go. That's great. So what would be if you were to break up with her? What would be the worst place to be broken up with? You reckon?
Give him some context around this.
No, I don't like that. I like making the awkwardness.
We realised, that you got to keep it light. So last week we printed off Cosmopolitan's 200 funny questions to get to know your dates.
Oh, lovely.
So we now, we just throw a couple in occasionally. With the
So I was
players.
On question 26. So question 26. Yeah, so if you were breaking up with your missus, where would you be distraught? If she broke up with you here, you're like, I'm not here. Wait till tomorrow.
You're on holiday somewhere. Maybe New York together,
secluded.
Having a great time.
On your honeymoon.
Yeah. Maybe then. And then maybe you get back to the room and there's just a little note or something, and it'd be hard to enjoy it by yourself.
Yeah.
Do you have an answer?
That's actually happened to me in New York. Oh, fuck.
Has it?
Yeah.
Go on, tell the story.
After the 2019 World Cup, went over the... anyway... End up sleeping at a different hotel. It was all very odd. Anyway.
Oh, what a good question. I just picked
great one.
I went random.
She's now married and got a kid. Fantastic.
Hey. Oh, well, she moved on.
Nah, well, so have I.
Yeah.
Sounds like it.
No, I haven't. I've got one actually. What's the longest you've ever gone without sleep?
Whoa. I reckon if it was me, it's probably this guy there next to me keeping me awake, I reckon. I wouldn't know, but Swoop would have been a big factor in it.
Yeah, he was guilty of that for me over the weekend.
Jeez.
How many hours did you get on Saturday night, boys? How many hours, Kip?
No.
Zero.
Got a couple on Sunday.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Perfect. And you watched, obviously, a lot of rugby over the weekend because we dive pretty deep.
Yeah.
Swoop, you catch all of it?
Not a minute.
Well, this is going to test us. Hey, we're talking tweets. We just thought as a little, you know, segment at the top. We're always trying those things, Nards. We'll have a look at a few other little tweets. Drew, back in 2017, you tweeted...
2017?
Yeah, September 28th. Where does Hugh Hefner go now? He's been in heaven for the past 91 years.
Well, fair question.
Is that inspiration for Saturday night's costume?
Maybe subliminally, because I've obviously been a bit of a fan of Hugh for a while. But geez, he lived some life, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
Would you have enjoyed that life, you reckon?
Well, I don't think so. I think my anxiety would have been absolutely peaking. Because Anna's wife, Anna, she said, "Do you really want to be Hugh Hefner when you're growing up?" And I said, "Well, I don't think so, but I certainly want to go to one of his parties." And I said,
"I didn't want to be Pretty Woman either when I grew up."
But then, come to think of it, having 25 wives in the same mansion, like, that'd be an absolute fucking nightmare.
I think he kept them separate, didn't he? Did you guys used to watch the Playboys of the... What was it? The
Playboy Bunnies?
Playboy Bunnies, whatever it was.
That was when MTV was really kicking off.
A couple of episodes. But didn't they all used to have like movie night in his bed and plenty of other things in his bed?
Yeah. I think he used to doze off.
Yeah. I reckon too. They just go with him to further their career.
I think so.
I don't reckon they were in love.
Next one, Drew. This is you again. You tweeted, this is 7 years ago.
Wow.
33 single unemployed FML.
Yeah, right.
Do you remember that one?
Probably a bit of an overshare.
A few retakes, too.
You know what? That? Yeah, 781 people are worried about you.
I could have had that same message for a number of years.
Yeah. Copy paste, 34. Right.
Enough of my tweets.
Yeah. Oh, we've got one here from Swoop. This is a good one.
that was the best.
Well, that's a first. Yeah. One of the weirdest post-match presentations I've been a part of. If you're listening to this, it's a photograph of Swoop standing in the middle. On the left is Godzilla. Is that
Godzilla,
right?
Yeah.
And then on the right is, who's that?
I think that's like, one of the representatives of
Godzilla.
Yeah.
So this is when you're in Japan. Japan.
It's Godzilla's mind. Godzilla's man of the match performance.
You don't look awkward at all.
I think it was played just outside of... No, actually, it had nothing to do with COVID. I'm just trying to work out why we're standing a metre apart.
No, it wasn't, because I remember seeing it.
It's 2018.
Yeah, it was very awkward.
Very
awkward.
He
didn't even shake your hand and give you the trophy.
I just got told this is where I stand. I got a little mini Godzilla for...
So does Godzilla...
So these days, too, if you get MVP of the game, you get sort of gifts or sponsors' gifts. So a couple of weeks ago, one of the guys won 60 kilos of broccoli.
There was another one. Used to give you like 20 kilos of rice and stuff.
It all turns up in the clubhouse and everyone helps themselves pretty much.
Yeah.
Or there'd be 40 kilos of rice. And
what sort of size are we talking for 60 kilos of broccoli? Would it fill this room?
Oh, it's a lot of boxes, yeah.
Like that's what you're eating for the next month, because you've got a chef. Most of the companies employ a chef broccoli for the players. Mm. Even parents around Christmas time will ship in 400 watermelons or something, you know, and it's like, oh, thanks for that gift, mate. That was amazing. Like, you know, like it's just a different, it's still nice.
Yeah. Does Godzilla still give you the man of the match trophy? Is that a regular thing or is that just that one match?
No, I think that's just the sponsors.
That also could have been around when that restaurant, you know, that Godzilla in Tokyo, it might have opened around that time, didn't it?
Fantastic. Now, Gitz, you tweeted in 2011. Tweeted, thank you, ball boys, thank you, linesmen, that's it.
Yeah. Yep.
What was this one? Were you playing tennis?
No, so I got called up to... So I was back in Canberra. So the team went to South Africa. I wasn't with the Wallabies at the time. Well, and after that as well. But I got called up by Robbie Deans. They said, come up. We've got the team announcement for the World Cup for 2011. So I flew up and then he just said, we don't have a spot for you. They still had me staying the night and going to dinner with the boys that are picked for the squad. So I said, mate, can I just change my flight? Can I get out of here? So they changed my flight, and then as I was waiting for the taxi, I just went, oh, thank you, ball boys, thank you, linesman, that's it, like I'm retired kind of thing. But the announcement hadn't happened from the AAU, and I didn't know that you could get in trouble for it. So then they tried to fine me as well. I said, listen, I think you've punished me enough here. So that was the history behind that one.
Right. So did Robbie give you a reason why you weren't in that squad?
He said he was going a 17-13 split, so 17 forwards, 13 backs. And I said, okay, that's fair enough. You've got your reasons, but why did you fly me up here to tell me that? And he said, well, it was, you know, out of respect for what you've done for the jersey and just thought that we should tell you face to face. I said, well, if it's about respect, then why is Jim Williams getting changed out of his undies over in the corner there and the strapping getting put away? Like it just wasn't that feel. And I wanted to get out of there. I was embarrassed. All the boys there had been picked for the squad and I just wanted to get home.
Yeah. Sorry for bringing that up.
No, that's fine.
Good one, Prof.
Yeah.
No, but I think it was fine. I couldn't, it doesn't bother me, it's just, I couldn't put a funny twist on it.
No, you did right. But then, hey, look, 2015, all the way to the final. You're still playing for San Diego Legion. How'd they go on the weekend?
Bonus point win away. We went to DC, had a big win. Now 3 from 4. Also, there's a lot of people reaching out saying, what's the deal with Gitz? I thought he'd signed. I had signed. You're not my agent. Have signed. I'm going there. But when Legion approached me, I already had things we'd agreed upon for the podcast. So the good people at San Diego gave me the opportunity to still fulfill these commitments, and then I'll go back. So I'm going back very, very soon.
For the big run to the finals.
Yeah.
And then Coco Show.
Yep.
Over there. We'll do it.
We doing that?
Oh, yeah. Surely we have to.
Surely. For your last game. Well, you might go again, will you?
No. Well, if they send you guys over, then I'll have to do it. So if you negotiate for me, I don't have a choice.
All right, very good. We'll see how we go. Hey, it's time for our rugby roundup segment, which we're going to get deep into your career. Don't worry, Nard. It will get easier. but there was a lot of rugby that took place on the weekend. Let's just down here in Australia in particular. Sweep, I'm going to start with you. Obviously, you watched all of that Hurricanes 54 Rebels. What were your takeaways from that game, mate? Did you... Let's talk about the first line out.
What did they run?
You tell me. I didn't see it.
But. Oh, right. Oh, you didn't see it either.
No, so Hurricanes 54 defeated the Rebels. That's 5 from 5 for the Canes.
They're flying.
Yep.
Yeah, they are flying.
Absolutely.
Ray Arcee out on the edge. Very good.
Can anybody touch them?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I just reckon the Rebels team, it looked a bit like a, no disrespect to them, but it looked like a training run. The ball was so quick for the Hurricanes. They could do what they want. I think at half time it could have been close to 30 points already, was it? But it was more the 33-0, yeah. So the second half, I think they took their foot off the pedal, but the Rebels showed a bit of character there to come back. But, yeah, they were impressive.
Yeah, this is where I think with the Rebels, a lot of their sort of more experienced, established star players need to really step up. Like, I understand and appreciate what they're going through off the field and maybe some uncertainty around. And, you know, there's some, I guess, rumours around players getting poached from other national competitions and whatnot. But they're there at the Rebels now. They just need to also, if they have aspirations to play Wallabies as well, I'm sure Joe Schmidt and his team would like to see them be able to put that distraction to the side and play really well and play to the level that he expects from his Wallabies. Because even some of the messaging, I spoke to Joe Schmidt at the Randwick Rugby Luncheon on Friday. He just wants to see people that want to add value, that want to, like, that it means something to them, that they invest themselves in what they're doing. And I think because of the situation they're in, if they're able to go out in there and put those performances consistently back to back, then that would also help them a lot moving forward into a Wallaby selection.
Beautiful moment for Carter Gordon, giving his brother the... What is it, a hat that you give it when on your debut?
Cap. Oh, I didn't say that. I thought you were talking about when he spewed. You see, no, when he got cut in half? I think they've hit him right in the nuts, maybe.
Yeah,
because
right.
He was down on all fours spewing, and I thought that's where you were going.
No,
with.
I wish I had. That's much more interesting than what
I'm
talking
about. No, but the brother, I think it's a nice touch.
And then he threw the ball to his brother to go for the try on debut, so that's nice for the Gordons.
Yep.
And then the Rebels next week, they take on the Tars.
Mm.
They're about equal pegging at the moment, would you say, the Waratahs and the Rebels?
Well, I mean, Tars have been in every game. You know, they've not been winning, but they've been
very close.
You know, losing very close matches. That's their next sort of progression, is to be able to win those. Tane Edmund last week missed the penalty goal. He missed the field goal in super point time in this most recent weekend. You know, we spoke about it. You've got to step up and nail those moments.
So what happens off the back of those performances? It was said at the start of the year for DC they were going to review DC's role after 4 or 5 games. You know, I think, what is he, 1-4?
Yeah. So they went down to the draw 39.
Knowing that they
36.
Have been competing but narrowly losing. I mean, you're on the board, Drew.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nard? No. Scenario.
Oh, right. Oh. I wouldn't be on the tar board. Don't. Leave me
What's
alone.
What's put you there just for this?
Well, sack them all. I don't care.
What are you doing? I mean, what's the conversation?
I don't want them to go well, son. So I'm Brumbies.
What about for DC, though?
Oh, obviously, I think I've been being coached by DC. I know how much value he can bring. Mm. As a 10, I really like the messaging he gives. I feel really clear, confident, and excited about his game plan. He's got a couple of trick plays each week, which, you know, the boys get excited about. So to have those in your back pocket, I like being coached by DC. I think he's very good. Obviously, results, I don't know what that means for him long term, but I'd love to see him stay. I think he's a good coach. Personally, I really enjoy being coached by him.
Yeah, I'd also think, what do you gain by getting rid of him at this stage of the season? You know, they're a team that, as we said, they could have won nearly all their games, right? They've been in every game, if for not a couple of kicks. So I think for the Super Rugby too, it's about having momentum going to the finals. There's a top 8. So if you win your last 3 or 4 games, you've got that momentum to go into that finals. You can sort of start knocking off the bigger teams. So I think, you know, they're a team that, they're relying on a few individuals, and they're playing probably a bit like that. But if they can click and play together, I reckon they can do some good things.
Yeah, I think it'd be silly if they got rid of him now. Because, who do they go to next? If there's no better replacement waiting in the wings, then what's the point of doing it? You're almost giving up a whole season. At least DC's had a couple of years with him. He's had a preseason. He's got plans in place. Someone comes in new and afresh, then you're almost giving a leave pass to not do well for the rest of the year. You know, if it's a matter of re-signing him or whatever, like that, they're decisions that can be made, but don't have to be made this week. And, Yeah, I think it'd be...
Also, Golden Point can swing either way.
Yeah. And especially in Fiji, yeah. You know.
You've still got Mad Monday.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to get rid of DC before Mad Monday. That's when he comes into his own.
So Brumbies, your Brums, you are Mr. Brumby. They're getting going.
They are.
They 60 defeated Moana 21.
Yep.
Lolasio, he's starting to fire at 10.
Yep.
Is he in your Wallabies 15?
Yeah, well, I like the way he's playing. Obviously, his stint at Toulon, I think served him really well.
Yeah.
He's come back with a lot of confidence. Obviously, I think with Bernie, like Stephen Larkham as the coach, he would have told Noah, look, you're my 10. I'm going to stick with you. And when a player gets told that, you know, you'll give him time to find his groove. He doesn't feel under pressure, doesn't feel like he's got to make miracle plays, which maybe the Wallabies have been guilty of with him because he's been in and out and not been able to find his consistency. I mean, you've trained with him, Nard. Like, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it goes across the board with all the young 10s. I think there's so much expectation put on them early. You know, they play one good game, everyone's talking about they should be in the Wallabies as the next Wallaby 10. So I think you're seeing what Noah's benefiting off is a forward pack that's going forward. There's a couple of good quality players around him. I know you'd probably agree, Gitz, but if you've got a 9 that can help run the game and if you've got a 12 and a 13 talking to you, as a 10, your job's so easy, right? You just got to execute what you're being told and steer the ship. But you also can get to play with freedom because you don't feel like the burden's all on you and you have to run every play or have to touch it. So I think that with all the 10s in the country, if we can build the framework around them, let them play their natural game, drive the game and learn from their failures and their lessons, then each of those players will thrive in those environments.
Yep.
Let's move on. Chiefs.
The number 8 for Brumbies, is it Mikhail?
Yeah.
Was that? Kale.
Kale.
Charlie Kale. He's impressive.
He's got gas, isn't he? He's quick.
When he got up in that inside ball.
Yeah.
He gets up, moving.
Do you play him at 8 or do you play him at 6?
Well,
he got a lovely gate swoop when he runs. You'd love that gate.
Love gate.
Yeah.
Love gate. Gate's important.
I mean, he could definitely play 6. He's definitely tall enough as another, like a third line-out option, fourth line-out option. He's an athlete. Like, I like the way he's moving out there at the moment.
Before we go to the next question, can we turn the aircon on?
The aircon's not working
again. No, we can't,
again,
mate. Because they charge Hugo apparently $300 to clean the filters and he wasn't going to pay $300.
So they've come in overnight and sabotaged it.
Yeah.
So Hugo's got to work out that dispute.
I might need a cold one then to cool me down.
Yeah.
You boys don't want this
shirt
back.
Sorry, Tommy, do you mind grabbing a... Oh, they're here. I've got them. Sorry, mate. Here you go. Sorry.
You won't have a great deal of water in your system too, Swoop.
Would you like another one here?
But plenty of everything else.
There we go. Please. Sorry, boys. While we're filling up the beer glasses, Chiefs 28 defeated the Highlanders 21. Chiefs, they ran away to a 21-0 lead. It was all Chiefs. And then those Highlanders, they reeled them back in with a red card on their side. So both sides looking pretty good. Old Damien McKenzie's firing, isn't he?
Yeah, he certainly is, mate.
You know, it was also it was great to see Quinn Dupire back as well.
Yeah, I was about to say
he'd been out for a long time. From that knee injury in a Bledisloe. And, it's good to see him back out there and in that 12 jersey.
Then the Blues 26 defeated the Crusaders 6.
Good jersey.
Ooh.
Yeah, great jersey.
Yeah.
I like the old school. It reminds me of the photos that you used to see of Jonah playing.
Yeah, Jonah and Carlos and all the boys.
Surely there's got to be some type of... They're in crisis mode, surely. Crusaders.
Oh, the Crusaders.
Have you seen a fall from grace like that in professional sports? A team that's just won a championship to losing their first... The only one I can think of... No, actually, I can't. I was going to say Adelaide Crows, but they didn't win.
You wouldn't really say they're in a huge crisis, but rugby in New Zealand's massive, right?
Yeah. And I think they've all had so many changes, right, in so many key positions, starting from the head coach down to through all the player and the rosters. So they're in a rebuild.
Yep.
They've got a couple of old guys helping them out.
You played under Rob Penny, didn't you, at the Tarts?
I didn't, know.
Oh, you didn't?
I just missed him.
Yeah, right. I was going to ask if you... If you rate him.
You can still ask. From a distance, do you rate him? Or?
Oh, I think he plays a style that people enjoy. He wants to play with width. He wants to play with ball in hand. So they're probably working that out now and probably, you know, having a few teething problems.
That game wasn't a bad performance. Like, it was a tight game. It was just the Blues got a couple of tries. But the game was pretty tight. I think it was like 6-3 or something at halftime. It was just, only penalty goals.
We're just not used to talking about the Crusaders being 0-5. Exactly. I think that's like what makes it more, I guess, shocking, I suppose, because you just never, you never put an 0-5 start alongside the Crusaders, whereas now, like, that's the reality of it. But you know, what previous years, they've always, not always been the greatest starters, but they come good. I mean, it's got to be a big turnaround if they were to do something special this year, but I wouldn't put it past them.
Matt Tamua tweeted, I don't know if you saw that, about how New Zealand don't have enough depth to field 5 Super Rugby clubs. Yeah. Oh, mate, I think he was spot on.
Yeah, he's getting punchy with his tweets.
Yeah, he tweets a lot.
Yeah, love it.
I think he's chasing a media gig.
Well, he could do, you know, something like yours. Like,
he's
already
running a
single
podcast, isn't he? Oh,
yeah,
is he?
He's on the Raw or something, but... But I would just say, just be careful of your tweets if you want to go into the media.
I'll second that.
We should have dragged that tweet up. Why didn't we bring that one up? That's a good one. Now, here's the one that we saw when we were at the pub that nobody could believe. We thought we'd all had a couple too many. The Force, 40 defeat of the Reds, 31.
Yep.
Big upset there. The Force were 0-4. The Reds were firing. Simon Cron. Your mate's with him, aren't you?
Yeah, he's doing good things. Yeah, Cronny, yeah. He, and also the good news keeps coming from the Force. Just announced that Sam Carter is coming back from Leicester Tigers, played 16 tests for the Wallabies. He's going to finish the season out at the Western Force.
Gee, you've got your finger on the pulse.
Oh, no, especially for someone who didn't have much of a pulse all weekend. Oh, mate, yesterday it was dicey.
How close to calling the paramedics were you?
Yeah, no, paramedics.
What, the white jackets coming in?
Yeah, the sideboard, everything, yeah. Yeah,
oh, wow.
It's interesting.
Padded room.
Oh, the things I saw. Well, at least thought I saw.
All right, so we do a little segment on here, Nard, which I'd like you to get involved in. We've got a brand new sponsor on here, Beefeater, the barbecues. Have you got a barbecue?
Beefeater.
I don't, not in Japan. Maybe I could look at getting one.
Beefeater.
Cook all your broccoli on it.
They are the best. And it's a brand new segment. It's called the Super Sizzler.
Super Sizzler, brought to you by Beef Eater. Life tastes better outdoors.
And basically, we each go around and we pick somebody in the superb rugby that sizzled over the weekend. And I guess, do you want to start, Gitz? Do you want to do your sizzler?
No, Swoop should start, I think.
Who's your sizzler?
Well, didn't watch much footy, but Harrison Goddard getting his first start for the Brumbies. Obviously didn't get much game time when he was with the Waratahs under Jake Gordon, but good to see him getting a start. Obviously played very well. They, you know, helped the team get to 60 points over a very good team in Moana. So well done, Godsey, if you're watching, mate. Good to see you get a start. Good to see you running around and keep going back.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Good nomination. Has he got a barbecue?
No, not
yet. No, but Godsey, he can create fire from sticks. He's a magician. He's great.
Fantastic. Do you want to go next for your sizzler?
Yes, and I'll take his barbecue if you're passing him on.
Okay.
So my sizzler, Yosefo Masi. The 13 from Fiji and Drew. He scored a hat-trick against the Tars, two tries the week before. I just think he's super strong. He's a great carrier. Looks like you like someone strong in the hips. He looks strong in the hips. Yeah, I just think he's almost an untapped talent.
Fantastic. Great nomination. Does he have a barbecue?
We should give him one.
We should, Beefeater. Yep. Nard, would you? Have you got a nomination or?
Don't have one. I'll probably say the Force. You know, being able to score 40 points against a pretty spirited Red side, and I think the way that they want to play and the way that Simon Cron wants to play is really starting to come through. They're pretty. He's pretty regimented and everyone knowing their roles, but he wants to see ball movement. He wants to see guys in motion, and I think we're starting to see that at the Force, which is exciting.
Absolutely sizzling over there in the West. Do they have barbecues?
Not that we know of.
Well, send them beef eaters. Hey, what do you got, Drusa? Who you got?
Mate, I want to send a beef eater up to Fiji because Mick Byrne, head coach of Fiji and Drua, came up with an absolute
Mick the kick.
Burn on DC, his opposing coach. So a couple of years ago or a year ago or whatever, when the Waratahs beat the Fijian and Drua, Darren Coleman was quoted saying, you know, let's not get carried away. It's not like we beat the Chicago Bulls. And then after the press conference on the weekend, Mick Byrne went to the press conference with a Chicago Bulls hat on.
Oh, no, DC.
That is a good burn.
Yes.
Yeah, that's well played. I like that. It'll just come a couple of little side stories and layers to it. It's nice.
You know my question I'm going to ask.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Do you know if he...
I don't know, but all right. Let's get him one.
Let's give him a beef eater. Yeah.
What about you, Prof? You always ask the questions. You got to... Oh, have I cut you? Have I come
No. Yeah. I was thinking about this. My sizzler for the weekend is the kids. So it was superb rugby kids round.
Yep.
And all the kids were wonderful, the way they usher the players on and go out into the field. And it was just wonderful to see all the kids out there embracing rugby union.
Do the kids have a barbecue?
No, but we're going to send them one. We'll send
it to their parents.
You know, I reckon, I was thinking about this, what if next year for kids round, if each team is allowed to play a kid in their starting 15?
Where are you playing him?
Well, wherever you want.
What's your age limit?
I think it's got to be under sevens.
Probably double points if a kid scores.
Double points, good. Double kids, double points, double kids. Just something to think about.
Maybe you definitely lift them in the line out.
Yeah, that's a good shout.
Throw them up.
Yeah,
I think it's got real merit.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a kid in Jonah Lomu rugby, like Mathers or something?
Oh, he was quick.
Wasn't he?
Gee, he was quick.
How old was he?
Oh, no, he was just tiny.
No, he's just small. Like Jonah Lomu rugby on the PlayStation back.
Yeah.
You had like a team of Lomus, then there was another team, all-star team. You had a big bloke that could just shunt like that his whole way 100 metres.
They could just what?
Shunt. You know, like that. Like, because he wouldn't put a fend out.
Mm.
It was just like you couldn't hit him. And then you had the little fella, like Nard's height. He's just... quick
run backwards, run around.
Yeah.
Mate, it was a good game.
Yeah, very good.
Bit of other news floating around. Oh, just before I go, Beefeater, they're going to provide us a barbecue in here. Hugo has said we can cook whatever we want. Oh. He said, forget Hugo. He said, forget any sort of fire, you know, problems.
No aircon. I was going to say, it feels like we're cooking something.
I was about to say,
here.
You know, the beauty of that, we wouldn't even need to turn the barbecue on. Yeah.
No,
like this studio is sizzling. Yeah,
because it's so hot. And the other thing they're providing. What about this?
Oh, here we go.
Well, courtesy of Appliances Online, they're helping out as well. They are providing a fridge, a bar fridge.
Wow.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding. God, it's all coming up.
You
Coco.
Get me a bed and I'm not leaving.
We could move in.
Yeah.
Well, Hugo already lives here when his missus hates him. So he's
a little
sleeps,
hot, though.
Yeah, on the couch here most weekends. Anyway, a bit of other rugby news is around. There's a lot of chat around, and you were alluding to this earlier, that Taniela, that Leicester are sniffing around.
Leinster.
What did I
Ireland.
Say?
Ireland. You said Leicester?
Yeah,
Leicester's
the football
club. Where Izzy Parisi went. Leinster's the Irish side where Taniela's linked.
Okay, well, it's the latter that they're looking at him. It's looking at a $950,000 a year deal as opposed to his $1.2 million a year. It's good.
Is that pounds?
That is good cheddar. Yeah. What? Oh, is it pounds? No, Aussie dollars. Still good cash. Obviously, he's contracted till 2025. I guess that's if the Rebels fall over, he will go. Care to comment?
Well, I mean, that's the landscape we've got now with the uncertainty around the Rebels, there's perceived uncertainty around the Brumbies and even the rugby RA's financial situation. So, you know, we're starting to see players start to look and entertain options from overseas, and that's just the nature of it now with the situation we found ourselves in. And that's through poor governance for a long period of time at various different levels. And you can't begrudge players for entertaining that. But if we're going to start losing all our stars, then we have to change the laws and make sure our best players are playing for Australia.
Yeah. I think he's going early because I've seen Australian rugby on the way back up. And I know you think I'm joking, but honestly, crowds on the weekend were amazing. The viewers,
don't get me wrong, I don't want to see these players go, but you wouldn't be able to, you can't begrudge them if they do entertain it.
You just like to think what's on the horizon here in Australia with the rugby, the Lions tour next year, the World Cup in 3 years. You know, you'd really kick yourself if you're overseas and you miss those. And you
say you say everything goes well now, which obviously I hope it does. In your head, you're worried about that. Is the Lions something you're eyeing off potentially?
Oh, World Cup's a pinnacle. Lions aren't far behind.
Yeah.
I only got the smallest of taste back in 2013. So, not having experienced a full Lions tour or being part of the Wallabies in a Lions tour, it's definitely on the radar. But, you know, I think there's a lot of footy to be played.
I get that.
You've got to, put yourself in the best position and also be a part. Because I think if you target the Lions, you've also probably got to build a squad that's looking a bit further ahead too, right, in terms of the World Cup, because it is such a big occasion, a good experience and growth for the next generation.
Yeah, it's also good having a bit of experience around.
Yeah, I think that as well. Like, you've obviously got to have one eye on the 27 World Cup, but, you know, we've all said the five young tens at the moment, like, they've all gone in early. We've all put so much expectation and pressure on them, and they've, you know, you could argue that they've gone in too early, and now they're getting that experience. And they're going to be the guys that are in those positions moving forward. But you know, we saw the impact of not having an experienced 10 at the most recent World Cup. I'd love to see at least one experienced 10 amongst a select couple of the younger ones coming through, at least for the Lions. Until then, 2 or 3 years' time, and come 27 World Cup, then they are the experienced players. But at the moment, they're not there yet.
Well, those first two test matches sold out in like 45 minutes for the Lions in Sydney and Brisbane and Melbourne. I mean, it's a big stadium, but it's selling out very quickly.
Yeah. So, it'll go.
Oh, yeah.
They travel.
Fantastic. Very exciting. And before that, Wales come here and Georgia, which, as we know, touch and go for the Wallabies. Georgia, they pumped Portugal in that final. Yeah. Surely they've got to be knocking on the door of Six Nations. Don't they make it seven nations?
There's talk of that a while ago when they wanted to kick Italy out. They said they're not competitive anymore. Let's bring Georgia in. And now, obviously, the Italians are doing well. They're going to be tough. Listen, Prof, sorry. What do you reckon's the most underrated sex position?
Is this to me?
To you. You seem like a sexual type.
Now, just so I know.
Best even.
Yeah. Is there somebody in the room with me?
Yes, okay. Of course, your wife.
Okay, I'm going to go the Argentinian pencil pusher.
Yeah.
Have you guys done that one? It involves a pack of Derwents. I think they're all underrated.
Yeah.
I think it's just wonderful being on the nest.
Great answer.
I've got another one, maybe for everyone, but what do you lie about to your doctor?
Me?
Oh, wow.
That's a good one.
Oh, what about when they say, are you a... are you a casual drinker? Yeah. You drink once a week or just one glass? Yeah. I mean, I'm probably a glass every couple of weeks. Or
I'm like five on a Saturday night.
Yeah. And did you have one?
Oh, probably my height. I just always say I'm 6 foot.
Mate, you can't add 2 feet. Like, that's
very good. Hey, it is time for the Bernard Foley segment.
Yes.
Dig deep into Nard. We have another sponsor. We're NordVPN, which you can see just over my shoulder here. A wonderful sponsor. And we've been keeping a close eye on you in Japan and all your games because you probably didn't think it was possible, but thanks to NordVPN, we've been able to swap our virtual location and we've been able to watch you tearing it up in Japan every single minute. Swoop in particular. He comes in here. Just see what Nard did on the weekend. So as a gift on the show, we're going to give you access to our account so you can do the same and watch all your favourite shows and sports shows from Australia while you're in Japan. That's what NordVPN do. We've sort of been asking everybody this. Have you watched the Wallabies doco?
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I haven't, no.
Because no, you can when you go back because of the VPN.
Oh.
NordVPN.
Which VPN?
Nord.
That's the one.
NordVPN. So, just a reminder, Nord, if you want to get a NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/thecocoshow. Our link will give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. It might be the last week of this sponsorship, but if you like this show and you jump on and you give them money in some weird kind of way, it results in us getting money. I don't get it. But get on there and make sure you subscribe to them and to us. Now, Nah, you've played rugby a long time. Just looking at the sheet here. Let's start with you two boys at the Waratahs, because this is what we want to know, right? Swoop and you in 2014. Massive win for you against the Crusaders. Can we go back to that final and how much you remember of it? And obviously you got the double, Swoop, and then you kicked that winning goal. Nard, good memories, or have you forgotten it all now, boys?
No, it's great memories. I think the most memorable thing was the whole lead up, you know, and the whole the year, the how the group got so tight, the culture and the build up to the final was something pretty special. And then the game a bit of a blur, but you know, we were lucky to get the chocolates and we celebrated for the next few days.
Next few?
Yeah.
It was interesting. Like, I think, you know, special games, you can kind of, well, most games you can recall certain moments in the game, or you might be able to watch a highlight and then kind of recall either a couple of phases leading into that or what followed that. But for that reason, I can't recall any of that match. It was a genuine blur. I just think maybe it was the build-up, the occasion of it being a final, potentially the fact that I'd been in a lot of grand finals previously, all the way through juniors, and never won one. So I don't know. It was, and the way, I guess the way Czech built it up, we did a lot of work, I guess, physically and mentally, that, yeah, we were just so in the moment, we're prepared. And so present that, you know, being able to recall that was really, really hard. But I guess what we can remember is everything that followed, celebrations, the time we spent in the change rooms together, celebrating that moment, celebrating the year, reflecting, then on to the Ivy, then back to the Pentagon. The Pentagon was where Bernard shacked up with a couple of the boys, four other blokes, hence why it's called the Pentagon. It was you, Phipsy, John O'Lance, Mick Hodge.
And Josh Coops.
And Josh Coops, the Muggle.
The Muggle.
And we end up spending the rest of our celebrations there for the next couple of days, which was good fun.
Yeah, the house got through pretty unscathed. I think it was missing a few windows, a couple of doors, but other than that, was
plenty of good time. Yeah.
Swoop, didn't you also help with the emotionally prep by writing a poem or something?
Yeah.
I'd love to read that or hear that poem. Imagine his poem. Roses are red, violets are blue.
Mate, I'd prefer to read it. There'd be so many spelling mistakes. Yeah.
Do you remember it, Swoop?
I don't. Yeah, look, I think I just dedicated a paragraph or a chorus to each of the blokes. It went on for a little bit.
I 23 paragraphs.
Yeah, I was up until 5 a.m. doing it. Obviously, I had my wife there helping me with all the spelling corrections. But, you know, and Dano lent a bit of a hand as well. But I told the boys, I said, look, I've written a little bit of a poem. Do you mind just taking an E? Anyway, I was about halfway through it, and with 30 minutes in, you could see the boys start to really fatigue up on their knees. I said, okay, maybe just take a seat. We've got a little bit while to go. But
what about you just trim the poem?
The funniest was he was up all night, and then we're doing our captain's run, and then after we just think it's a little huddle so the kickers can go do their kicking, throwers can do their throw, do your individual prep for the game the next day. And then Swoop calls us in. We get down on one knee. And we're there for probably an hour and 45.
This would have been blowing up.
Oh, my life. So I've got to warm back up again. Kick.
Do you think, though, that the poem was the difference?
It worked.
Do you think that's what won you the title?
Oh, it was. I think, there was a lot of instances through that season, right, where we connected so well off the field that actually helped bring us together on the field. And I think even the week before, we'd won the semi-final. On the Saturday night and the Sunday, we'd sort of had a bit of a Sunday recovery group that we'd always sort of meet in Bondi. We might have a swim and a lunch, and then it would sort of a couple of beers and put the week to bed. But I remember that after that semi final, Swoop's like, nah, we've got to do everything we normally do. Because we think, we've got a good grand final, let's just keep taking it easy.
And so Swoop said, nah. Couple of bets, 12 beers, home by 8.
And then I think that put us in such good stead going to that game. And, you know, we're up against a really quality Crusader side. And I remember, you know, feeling that we were quite dominant through that game. But, you know, with 2 minutes to go, we were behind. And it was just a seesawing, just an epic clash that, you know, we're lucky enough to get the win at the end.
What was the – sorry, Prof.
No, go.
What were you going to say?
I was going to ask about standing over the ball for that last kick and what was going through his head.
Well, see, that's better because mine will lead into how long was there to go for that. They got to kick off.
Yeah.
And then you had to secure the ball. Like, that would have felt like forever. But go to your one.
Mine first?
Yeah.
So, obviously, penalty. Richard McCaw gave away a penalty.
Mm.
And you are standing over the ball. How far out are you, Nard?
It was 62 or something.
Yeah. 62 metres. And what's the wind doing? Was it? It was howling. Wasn't
howling.
It? Yeah, unseasonably.
But the interesting thing about that, it was, I think it was 45 metres, but we'd sort of had a rule that, being the pop gun I was, I was to take all kicks sort of inside the 40, and KB was the long range goal kicker that season. So anything over 40, KB would take. But I'd been actually kicking quite well that night, and it was probably right on my limit. And you know, it's probably not fair to throw the ball to him to take his first kick of the night in that occasion. But the interesting part is when the penalty is awarded is how everyone reacts around you. You know, some guys just they try and give you space. Other guys come up and say, I remember Pete Beetham coming up and say, don't worry, mate, we love you anyway.
He'd already written you off.
Yeah, exactly right. And I think I'd done some kicking too with Andrew Mertens that year, and he was on the commentary team. You know, and I'm sure he's wearing his Crusaders jersey underneath as well, but he wrote me off as well, so...
Didn't think I had it.
Oh, I just said I think it's a bit too far for him. But you know, my only memory really of that was just thinking how good this stadium's going to be when this goes over. And when I kicked it, when it came off the boot, I actually thought I'd missed to the right, and it was travelling. And then it sort of started to hook back. It was a bit like that Qantas ad where everyone sort of leans and it starts coming. And then I didn't think I'd actually had the legs, and it just crept over.
There you go. Yours now gets...
Yeah, but I'll go to Swoop.
Oh.
That. So how long did you have to go? You had to secure the kickoff, didn't you?
30 seconds on the clock.
Yeah.
And I think actually the Crusaders probably rushed that because they were always going to get a kickoff, but they probably raced back and took it.
It was a bit too long, wasn't it?
And kicked it too long and probably weren't set. So, we were lucky to play those last couple of phases and... I think at one stage it was a bit iffy.
I think, did Kibbo put the Kibbo ball out
kicks
in the
it out, yeah.
I remember him going absolutely nuts once it came off his boot.
What did that kick cost you? Another 3 skulls or something? Or 3 points? You were drinking with Ali Williams at the time.
Ali Williams and I, he was former Crusader, former Waratah in Toulon. It was 11 a.m. and we had the 100ml Heinekens, and we thought at the start of the game, we'll say, we'll have one of these for every point our team scores, and it was 34-33. So we were well on our way at the end of that game. And then, in the end, I gave him a wedgie. He thought I started to fight him. He punched me in the face.
Yeah, Drew was concussed.
Yeah.
Bianca was worried about it.
Time,
yeah. Then Mamuka Gorgodzi, the Georgian prince, he said, you okay, bro? I kill him, bro. I said, not right now, Mooks. I'll let you know if we need it.
Wouldn't have.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go. Let's jump from superb rugby into your international stuff. So played a lot with these boys. No, I don't want to ask you. 2015 Rugby World Cup, you were there. Everybody did very well. What was it like touring with these guys, first of all?
Yeah, well, it was sort of the first time I got to meet Gitz. He'd gone overseas and was a bit of an enigma before that. And so, you know, I think what these two brought back was experience for that squad, professionalism, and, you know, made that journey or that whole campaign really enjoyable, you know, to play alongside these blokes and to be a part of a World Cup, which was something pretty special.
What's the real answer? Who's a jerk? What was Gitz okay on tour?
No, it was early on. Yeah,
I was all right. We didn't do much. I think I roomed with Drew my very first trip to South Africa with the Waratahs, and we were in Cape Town.
Yeah,
and you know, I thought Cape Town, what a good place. We got a day off on the Wednesday, going to go out and do Table Mountain and see the sights. But Tuesday night came around and Drew said, "Go on, mate, we're going out." It was a bit of a team do.
Yeah,
and you know, a few guys got their cards skimmed at the ATM and. And I don't think I saw the sun on the Wednesday.
You learn pretty quick. Drew's not a tourist.
Oh yeah, I don't do museums and fucking sights and all that. Like, I'm a moth, mate. I'm attracted to the bright lights.
All right, very good. So obviously you played that World Cup and then you played for Australia a lot. And there's one that we have to chat about that happened recently in 2022 because we all watched it as a country. Bledisloe.
Everyone.
The whole country watched it. You know what I'm talking about here. When you didn't kick the ball out So I guess I don't know what the question to ask off the back of
this. Why didn't you kick the ball?
I didn't want to say.
Or did he give you enough note? Like, I mean, I'm on your side, Nat. I thought he's wrong.
Yeah, to be fair, we'd sort out a bit of a running battle all game, myself and the ref. And, it sort of stemmed from, you know, being, I was sort of new in that squad. I'd only sort of joined the squad 3 weeks before. And we went down to 13 men, and I was trying to manage the game, understand who's my line-out caller, what plays we're going to do to try and manage the period when we're off. And that's sort of what kicked it off with the ref trying to speed up the game. And, there was a couple of other incidents throughout the game. And it got to the end, and we're still working out and he came up to me and said, time's off. And then I think you hear in the audio that he actually said time's back on, but he never told me that. And I thought it was time will come back on when I kick the ball, you know. And it wasn't like I could milk the game and the game was going to be finished. It was, we still had to go to the line out. We still had to play the line out. So it wasn't me just trying to finish the game there and then. But, it was definitely maybe a little bit of ego and a bit of us clashing, but also, yeah, I didn't hear him say time was back on or that he was going to blow up the scrum.
Yeah, I mean, it might have been exactly that. But now that you say that, because you guys may be having a bit of a running clash, because people have gone back and looked at that game, and there's many instances, whether it's penalties or short arms, where you and Richie Mwanga both took more than 60 seconds, on a number of occasions. Throughout the 80 minutes, but didn't sanction any of those, only when obviously the game was in the balance. And that's obviously the argument about whether, the consistency and all that sort of thing. But, maybe because you got, in your mind, you felt like you had that running battle that he just clipped you a couple of seconds.
I reckon also, like, a ref's got to have a feel for the game. That's a pivotal moment. Yeah. Stop the time again. Just say, I'm stopping the clock. This is your chance. You either kick now, or I'm going to turn the ball over. Like, make a serious threat that way. Like, have a feel for
he
that game.
He was making it about himself, I reckon. He wanted his name in the paper, and he solved that problem. Have you spoken to him since? Has he reffed you since?
No, I haven't. We haven't come across each other. And the thing was, it was such a great game too.
Yeah.
From both sides, amazing, right? Yeah. And that was really disappointing for it to be decided like that. That was my take on it. And I suppose we got the Giddey law, right? I think from that we brought in a shot clock. So I'll have to say, hopefully, I'm
Foley law.
Yeah, they didn't give it a name, right? So,
let's get that. That needs to be a name.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The Nardrill. Is the Giddey law, is it the same law as when it was applied for you? It's been adjusted, hasn't it?
It's been changed. Yeah, I don't know what it's at now. My law is actually the Mitchell law, because it was, when it was first brought in, it was for 60 caps. And Drew was on 61 and overseas.
Ah. Yeah, if it was the Giddey, it would have been 90 caps.
Exactly.
So why didn't they name him the Mitchell?
Well, because his name has more weight.
No, I don't know what happened, but that's the argument.
Just
anyway.
a couple of journos frothing over here.
Yeah.
Anyway, is anybody else? Oh, I wanted to ask you this, right? You travel with these boys a lot. I'm sort of getting to know them now, and I know that they're different personalities, but they're very good friends. What did you learn from these guys? Sort of, it can be anything, on or off the field.
I suppose Swoop and how methodical he is with everything. He was always a good man to room with, because you knew exactly where everything was. And you could also always play a few games on him too. And it was always the funniest. He'd walk into the room and I would have rearranged it, moved a couple of shoes, hit a few of his artifacts, and he'd walk in and he'd be, oh no, what have you done? What have you done now?
That's the OCD coming out.
Yeah, quick scan. Yeah, no, it was a bit of a pest. You knew when Nard was in the room.
And Drew, what did you learn from Drew?
Oh, Drew was he was one who always, he probably didn't know the plays. He never did. But he'd always say to me, mate, just tell me where I've got to be. Just tell me where I've got to be. Like, even before the game or at every scrum or line out. Oh, which one's that again? Okay. So.
Yeah, well, just get in your pocket, really. I'll just show up in your pocket.
You knew where to go out,
an option. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes you just got a certain amount of memory to take up. And
You don't want to waste it on plays.
And Gitz, did you learn much from Gitz?
T-Rex arms. I don't think he's pretty tight, old Gitz. And you know, they came back to do the World Cup, and you know, he'd been, only been playing professional footy for about 15 years, 100 tests or something. But we're at the pub after, and we had to pass the hat around just so Gits could buy a few beers.
That's right, because so. We weren't getting paid, remember?
Yeah.
We went through this. And so. Nard, being the funny fella he is, decided to pass the hat around. But you're talking about Pess, where he moves shit around and whatever else. It's the same at your 40th. Anytime this idiot walked past me, he'd just boot me in the shins. And I'm talking to someone, and I just hear this.
A kick of an affection.
Oh, I had enough.
You got him back one though, didn't you?
I got him back, but then I kicked the glass out of my mate's hand, and it didn't end well.
Well, that brings us nicely to, because there is a little bit of niggle between you two, Wallaby tens. I thought that we could do on the show a little bit of a tens challenge.
Mm. All right.
Gits versus Nard.
Light work.
Sorry?
I just said it'd be light work.
So that we've sort of worked out there's three facets to being a good number 10. This is globally. Intelligence. Mm. You've got to be pretty wily out there. You're calling plays. And is it the smartest person on the field, guys? Is it the 10?
Easily, yeah. Easily.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Give it to him.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes the 12.
Depending. Handsomeness, generally speaking, most 10s around the world are very handsome. Look at the DCs, the J-dubs, Johnny Wilkinson.
Yeah.
Did you say Johnny's good looking?
Johnny yeah. Wilkinson.
Go away.
You don't think Johnny's good looking?
Nah.
Right not in. Is Johnny good looking?
No, he's not my type.
There's loads of...
yeah, Stephen Donald.
Why is that so funny?
Why do you guys laugh?
He's just Beaver, a
he's
name.
A great man.
Yeah, he's a great fella.
Johnny Sexton. He's mm-hmm. a bit of a dreamboat.
Yep.
Dan Bigger.
Yep. You're not helping your argument.
Okay, there's a few out there. Anyway, we're saying handsomeness. And then the last one's accuracy. Because you've got to be able to hit a target with both your boot and your passes. So we're going to do a little challenge
here. Let's get
here.
To the quiz.
Yeah.
Good is it news. A quiz?
It's a bit of a quiz. It's like sort of a little bit of a quiz, a little bit of a, what would you say, physical challenge.
Right.
Which is great for your podcast listeners. You won't see a thing. So fantastic. They all just turned off. Hey, but first of all, you guys can each have a phone a friend. Gits, I'll let you choose who you
Gee,
it's either.
Who do I choose?
Drew or Swoop?
Go, please. Go. Drew. Yeah.
No, you have your Swoop. Old mate Swoop.
I mean, I love you, but you know.
I know you love
you're
me.
Not smart.
You're fine, a friend. So the first challenge is intelligence. They're not so much questions, they're more sort of riddles.
Okay.
Who would like to go first? Should we go?
No. He's a guest.
Yeah. Okay, no, here we go. Here's your first question. A red house is made of red bricks. A blue house is made of blue bricks. What's a greenhouse made of?
Glass.
Yeah.
Oh, ding, ding, ding.
Nice.
That's easy.
Yep.
Gits. What starts with...
Wait a minute. Are these honestly random or are you hitting me with a hard one?
You. No, okay, I just said sorry. Who wants to start. This okay. is the second one.
Yep.
What starts with E and ends with E but only has one letter in it?
E.
He's looking to find a friend. He's saying, pick up the phone.
Phone a friend, ding, but ding. Wouldn't it just be E?
Well, hey, phone your friend.
You're coming across us. Hello?
Yeah, hey, Drew. Hello. You need help with a riddle.
Okay, well, read it to me.
Are you going to I'll read it. What starts with an E and ends with an E, but only has one letter in it?
Oh, that's easy. Envelope.
Well done.
A ding, ding, ding.
Oh, yes. Lucky I went that way.
Swoop, did you have that one?
Got that one.
Of course you did. Okay, Nard, repeat after me. One.
One.
Two.
Two.
Three.
Three.
Four.
Four.
What comes after four?
Five.
Idiot. What comes after four?
Hey, ding, ding, ding.
Ah, yes.
What? Repeat after me. Would you have got that, Swoop?
Nah.
Question number four. This is for you, Gits. David's father has three sons, Snap, Crackle, and...
David.
Oh, yeah. Ding, ding, ding. Here we go. Nard, Paul's...
How many times can I phone a friend? Because he's putting his hand up every question.
Once, mate. Okay, once, mate. Yeah.
Swoop. No, you can still... Double points if Swoop gets it.
Throw this one to Swoop. Paul's height is 6 feet. He is an assistant at a butcher's shop, and he has size 9 feet. What does Paul weigh?
Swoop.
Meat.
Ding, ding, ding. Yes. Swoop. Double points.
Swoopy.
You have to get
that
this one.
That stings me.
Gits.
Yeah.
What has a bottom at the top?
Don't look at Drew.
You want to find a friend?
Has a...
a bottom at the top.
What has a bottom?
This is to win the intelligence test. Pick up the phone.
He's waiting. Well, I don't think I want to ring him. That confuses me. Oh, you got,
there we go. Pick it up. Yep.
Hi, you've called Drew. He's not here right now.
I can't get this one.
Gentlemen, if you get this, this is, you win this. What has a bottom at the top?
Bottom at the top. Swoop, you got it?
Swoop, anything? Nothing?
No.
All right, the answer, your legs. Oh, did you get it then? Your legs?
Oh, I was going to say toilet.
Were you going to say legs then?
I was, yeah.
Oh, you win. Ding, ding, ding.
No, I was going to say it too.
Oh, equal points.
Equal points.
All right. Next challenge is handsomeness. You got to be handsome. All right. For the average beautiful person, what order does one's morning skincare routine progress in? Put these four steps in order.
It's a swoop question.
We'll start with you this time. Yeah, lovely. This is to you. Yep. Toner, cleanser, SPF moisturizer, and vitamin C serum. Put them in order. Toner, cleanser, SPF moisturizer, vitamin C serum. This is what
cleanser.
DC.
Cleanser.
Correct, is one. Yep.
Then your tone.
Correct.
Oh.
You've got SPF moisturizer and vitamin C serum.
Gee, I reckon I'd probably throw the serum on first. And then I'd fill it with the SPF.
Ding, ding, ding. Oh, yeah. You handsome devil. And I could hear a bit of help there from your phone, a friend. Both of you, very handsome. Okay, Nard. In the world of fashion, what does a French tuck look like?
French tuck?
You haven't played in France,
I haven't.
You? This is unfair. Well, you got your phone friend there.
I French tuck all the time.
Do you French tuck?
I love it, yeah. It's huge.
Drew, do you French tuck?
Yeah, it's in the way you put your...
No.
To the left.
The old fella down.
I'll find a friend.
Find a friend. Swoop. What is a French tuck in the fashion?
What is it? A shirt in at the front, out at the back?
Ding, ding, ding. Swoop.
There you go.
What is it?
It tucked in the front.
Out at the back?
Party at the back, yeah. Oh,
wow.
These kids is hating that.
Kids, if you are truly handsome... Then Game must acknowledge Game. Who won the 2023 People Magazine Sexiest Man Alive last year?
Oh, I know this.
Hello?
Yeah, Drew, who was the not you. You were tied, but who tied with you for Sexiest Man 2023?
The bloke from Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, I know the fella, what he looks like.
That's him.
He's a bit older. He's been number two a few times, but now he got the...
Patrick?
Yes.
Patrick Dempsey.
Yeah. Ding, ding.
Oh,
there you go.
Yes. Oh, that's great teamwork. Yes. Yeah.
That was exciting. This is a great show. Yeah. Cosmopolitan magazine, Nard, ran a survey of women's biggest turn-offs when it comes to men's appearances. What do you think topped the list? What's the biggest turn-off?
Appearance.
Yeah, don't say bald because that's offensive to one of us, and it's not right.
Ooh.
Do you want to find a friend?
Sweep, how confident are you?
Not really, but what are you thinking?
What graces you misses out, Sweep?
Hey?
What graces your misses out?
Take your pick.
Probably poor hygiene.
Yes, it's a type of hygiene though. That's you are onto it.
Easy,
bad breath.
You want to go with bad breath?
Don't go with bad breath.
No, we're not going with bad breath. He would have accelerated.
I would have gone ding, 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 but I didn't. What do you got? Here we go.
Body odor.
Oh, no. Have you got one?
Hey?
What's your guess?
For the win.
Dandruff?
No, nail hygiene. If you got dirty nails.
Oh, that's G up.
Gits, in 2023, a survey in America listed the sexiest accents on men.
Yep.
Australian came first.
You're kidding.
Yeah. Of course. G'day, ladies. Yeah. What accent came second? Was it... Oh, no, I'm not going to tell you. It's not multiple choice. What accent came second?
If they like the Aussie, nothing really compares, does it? Kiwi's close, but it's not very sexy. Would you think, like... European, something.
Hey, who's giving him eyes? Tommy, don't you?
Yeah.
Don't you dare.
I don't know. I mean, I thought Canada for some reason, but I don't know if that's right.
Now, that's a nice little one. We'll go with Canada.
No, have you got a guess,
Drew?
I'll say French.
Cheated.
No, wrong. It was Kiwi.
Oh, yeah. Well, I thought being close to ours, but
isn't it attractive
language? It is.
Well, not really, there, bro.
Yes.
It is.
I'm 60. Yeah.
Multiple choice.
Yeah, it's 60. Scottish was third. Hey, this is the last one. This is for you, Nard. I think you can win it with this. Oof. What length do health professionals recommend for pubic hair to be?
Are we talking Japanese or are we talking Australian?
It doesn't say here where they are from.
Well, there's pube experts out there, is it?
Yeah, it's a real art.
Really?
Yeah.
You got someone in your head.
Almost like the bonsais.
Yes. You get them trimmed up. Sculpted.
Oh, mastery of the pubes.
It's not a bad business to start.
If you're within 15 centimetres, I will let you know.
Within 15?
What?
Oh. Hey, I'll say two.
2 centimetres?
2 centimetres.
Yeah, that'll do.
No, it's incorrect. 1.27 centimetres. Keep your pubes at that length.
That's a tight game they're running. I like it.
Yeah.
1.27.
Yeah, well, you said...
I said within 15 centimetres.
Yeah, 15 centimetres is this. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. So I'm thinking...
I can't lose.
Took me back to the Japanese change room. Yeah. I love a bush up there.
So you're right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Ding, ding, ding. Now,
I had a mate, player that we were with, and he had a huge bush in Japan. We said, mate, whip that back. Missus will love it. Give you a bit of extra length. Whipped it back. She hated it.
Really?
Didn't touch it for ages. Yeah. Properly off him.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
Sort of a sign of what impurity.
What length you're running?
Oh, if you whip it off.
Yeah, if you whip it off. So. Yeah.
All right.
In the Japanese culture.
Oh, I love the backburn.
I'm as impure as they come then.
Really?
Baller's
like
prof.
A seal.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
like prof.
I like it.
I'm about 15 centimetres. Hey, all right, let's finish this wonderful little show that is the Coco Show. Just a reminder, you can buy these shirts. Budgie Smuggler, get on there, buy them. www.budgiesmuggler.com/Coco Show. Make sure you buy lots. It's only for a very limited time. In a limited amount. We're just testing it out. And it's a big thanks to Nick at Poloco, who's helped us with the designs and all that stuff. So it's just a limited run. We're just testing it out to see whether people actually want to buy them. Would you buy this, Nard?
Not if I get given them.
Yeah. Good point. Just a reminder, socials, kickoffs, kick-ons, everywhere except for YouTube, which is kickoff and kick-ons. And also, we are going to Hong Kong. If you're there and you watch, come up and say g'day. Thanks to Cathay Pacific and Avolo.
I might need a chat because after the last weekend, I'm a bit nervous about Hong Kong.
Yeah, but the beauty of being an adult is you make decisions.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm faced with one.
And, it sounds like you've already made the bad one, if you're nervous about it.
Well, I'm scared that if I go to Hong Kong, I'll make plenty of bad ones.
Yeah, but it won't be the worst decision maker on the trip.
Oh, yeah, swoop.
Yeah.
Just make sure we're hitting record when you're making those bad decisions. Yeah. That's how we get paid. Hong Kong Tourism Board and Cathay Pacific, big thanks to them as well. Hey, that's the show. That is the Coco Show. Nard, good luck for the rest of the season up there in Japan.
Thanks, fellas.
Thanks for
coming to the 40th of the weekend.
That's all right.
Appreciate that.
That was my first one, so probably stick clear of them now.
Well, you got one on the weekend.
Yeah, you're feeling good boots this week.
Gun fairly well. Day. Hey, give us one, Drew.
Coco! G'day, please, if you liked the show, well, show us you liked it by pressing like and subscribe so we can exist because we don't have any more money. We need your support. And make sure you check out our other videos.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.